Come, Lord Jesus, come. Do not delay. It's the cry of the Christian every Advent in particular. As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we, every Advent, recall Christ's coming in history, preparing our hearts for the annual celebration of his birth on Christmas Day. But we also emphasize and focus during these next 4 weeks his coming in mystery, most of all and above all in the Eucharist, where he's truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He cannot be anything more, and it is nothing less than Jesus himself. But he also comes to us in mystery in the word proclaimed of sacred scripture, in prayer, in communal gatherings, in penance, and the sacrament of reconciliation. The color purple with the bluish hue, ideally, is the particular color of Advent that symbolizes the penitential nature by simplicity of life, abstaining from excess, and even other good things to prepare our hearts to truly celebrate Christ coming in glory and humanity at his birth. We practice sacrament of reconciliation and little sacrifices captured by our Advent wreath and the purple colors of the three candles. It is a time of preparation where we even omit the Gloria during Mass, as you may have noticed today, so that when we do sing it for the first time 4 weeks later on Christmas Day, it's with that much more joy and gusto, with the angels that sang that song originally announcing his birth. And then we prepare our hearts for his coming in majesty. Christ will return in glory one day. Will our hearts be ready? You'll notice a lot of changes in the sanctuary that are meant to kind of capture this Advent theme, not just by the new missalettes that you have in your hand, but by the Advent wreath, which we will bless at the end of the prayers of the faithful, symbolizing and marking each of the 4 weeks preparing for Christmas Day. And I wanted to elevate and highlight Mary as a model for Advent preparation. Adveniat is the Latin word meaning come, come Lord Jesus. Particularly in moving this image above me of Our Lady of Guadalupe from where she was for many years to my right, to right above the ambo where sacred scripture is proclaimed. And notice how she's looking down at the altar. No one prepared better for the coming of Jesus than her. And no one can teach us better how to prepare for his coming in history, mystery, and majesty to us than her. The image above me, to highlight not just the celebrations of Our Lady of Guadalupe coming to this parish for the 11th and 12th of December, but to highlight various aspects of the image that speak of this waiting and longing and hope. If you notice the image above me, she has this belt or sash high on her waist, almost to her chest. It let the Aztecs know in their traditional form of dress for women that the woman pictured in that image was pregnant. And if you look very closely at the image, there is this four-petaled flower right on her belly. That particular flower with the four petals for the Aztec peoples symbolized to them divinity. They identified it on her belly. They noticed that her head was looking downward because she's not God. Their gods always looked up or looked out in nobility and divinity. Her head is down, telling them she is not God. But the flower on her belly with the sash saying she's pregnant means she is giving birth to God. And it's a joyful expectation. Mary appeared in this image to the Aztec people at a time where there was an immense lack of hope. They believed the world was ending, that the sun would go dark, and at best they would freeze to death, at worst burn alive, because they had stopped sacrificing human beings to their gods. And there was an eclipse of the sun right around that time, and an earthquake. All these celestial and earthly signs telling them your doom is imminent. The world will be destroyed. People lost hope, the Aztecs. Most of them did not know God. And the few that knew God through the Europeans did not have a very good experience or impression of him from his followers. And so there was a high rate of suicide, not unlike here in Colorado now, especially during this time of year. And they were afraid. And all of a sudden, this woman appears dressed like them, looking like them, and speaking Nahuatl, their language, and referring to God with the same phrases they used for their God. And instead of simply, which shocked me, coming to condemn their practice of human sacrifice, she tells the eagle that speaks the name of San Juan Diego in Nahuatl, go to the bishop, have a temple built here in my honor, and tell the people to come, to pour out their fears, their worries, their anxieties, their sadness, their hardships, that I will hear them, and I will love them, and I will lead them to their God, our God, that they have nothing to fear, that I am their mother. This message of hope spurred John, the eagle that speaks, San Juan Diego, to speak to the bishop and to bring this message and to insist. Mary brought it to an Aztec Indian, simple, poor, and humble, not a great Spaniard or a theologian, but to one who would represent the people she came to bring a message of hope in the midst of sadness and fear and anxiety that can mark the hearts of a lot of people this time of year when they've lost loved ones who have died, when they struggle with addiction or mental illness. The festivities of Thanksgiving and Christmas honestly can be very overwhelming for people who struggle with mental illness, or like me and so many of us have lost loved ones during this time of year. It can be very difficult, and the joyful celebration and music can be dissonant with the sadness and hollowness we might feel going through these quote-unquote festive times. And here is Our Lady above us, looking down at the Word of God where Christ comes to meet us, looking down at the altar where Christ comes in the flesh so that we can receive him. And she assures us that if we follow her and listen to her, we will come to know her Son and encounter him in a joyful way. Come, Lord Jesus. Christ continually comes. The question is, are our hearts ready? This Lenten season, the Archdiocese of Denver is going through a weekly kind of retreat at all the churches. And we're emphasizing the importance of preparing our hearts by breaking into and cutting back three particular sins and highlighting one virtue. The ways that we are impeded from encountering Jesus in word and sacrament is through sloth, not depression, but a willful choice to not engage in doing the good, whether it's simply coming to Mass, offering your daily prayers, helping in your parish or at home, your family. That sloth holds us back. It weighs us down. It is the opposite of charity, where we act sacrificially out of love for God and for the good of our neighbor. And so we bring that to confession this Advent season, as well as envy. And the scriptures speak of that, that we are to throw off rivalry and jealousy. Obsessed with social media, we're constantly comparing with this fake reality that people present, their fake book, as I like to call it, where everything is better than it really is, and nothing is usually very authentic. And we compare, and we get depressed and sad and frustrated, and we feel like we don't live up. And the Lord is calling us this Advent season to put aside the jealousy and envy and to focus in a spirit of gratitude of what he gives us and what he brings to this encounter if we will put aside the sloth and envy and meet him. But at the heart of every vice is ultimately pride, the sense that I am better than anyone else and no one's more important than me. A healthy self-love is critical. Right? Just for self-care and for a sense of self-dignity and self-worth, rooted in who we are in God and God's love for us. But when that self-love takes on an air of, I'm more important than you, I'm more valuable than you, and I am first before anyone else, we're robbed. We're robbed of this ability to encounter Christ, even if we come to Mass every week. It holds us back from this encounter. We cry, come, Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, I did come, and you won't meet me because of your pride. And so this Advent season, these next 4 weeks, as we mark them by the lighting of the candles to my right, your left, we want to highlight on works of charity. How can I sacrificially give in my time, talent, and treasure to build up the kingdom of God, to proclaim in my actions, come, Lord Jesus? Because his coming to those who follow him after the example of Mary is not one that should fill us with fear. Jesus comes to love us where we are, as we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay there. Advent season is a preparation for conversion. Look, not all of us rejoice going to the house of the Lord every Sunday. When I was young, I kicked, screamed, and cried. I didn't want to go to church. Some of us come dragging our feet. But if we come with open hearts to realize that the Lord comes to meet us, that our prayers add nothing to his greatness, but help us grow in his love, in virtue, and in goodness, then we realize that it is a joyful thing to be here, that we come to hear the Lord speak to us in a very personal and unique way through the scripture and the prayers of the Mass if we listen with open hearts. We always come to Mass bringing our hardships, our struggles, our distractions, our anxieties, our difficulties, and God always speaks if we can only listen. Mary said that to the Aztec people, "Come and bring me your hardship. I will hear you and I will love you. I will protect you with my mantle. The world will not end. The God whom you worship does not require your sacrifices because my son was sacrificed for you. I know your pain of what it's like to see a child sacrificed to God. But Jesus has done it once and for all so that you need not do it any longer. Come to me. Know that I know your pain and that I love you where you are, and I call you to know my son, the God whom you have always worshiped, but not fully known." Mary meets them where they're at and speaks to them literally in their language, looking like them and dressed like them, to raise them up in their sadness, their sorrow, their anxiety and depression, to encounter of hope with a God who loves them so imperfectly through the priests, the clergy then and today, feeding them with the sacraments of the church, to raise them up to the dignity of being God's sons and daughters. Her efforts led to the conversion of 11 million Native Americans at a time when about 6 to 8 million were leaving the Catholic Church in Europe because of the Protestant Reformation. What our brokenness caused in part, Mary healed simply by an image and a few words. Can you hear her speak to you now? A word of hope, of consolation, of assurance. Can you look to her who looks to him, who comes to us now and reminds us that every time we come to Mass, Christ encounters us fully in word and sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Jesus is always looking down. Mary is always looking down because she is not God, but she is always looking to Jesus. She sees him. She carries him in her womb. She is longing with joyful expectation to see his face Christmas Day. May we, like her, do the same these next 4 weeks, following her gaze to Jesus, who comes to meet us now as we cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, and do not delay."